The first passage of the month is Luke 20, 27 through 38 from the Common English Bible. It is the Revised Common Lectionary passage for Proper 27. That is November the 6th. Some Sadducees, who deny that there's a resurrection, came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a widow but no children, the brother must marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there are seven brothers. The first man married a woman and then died childless. The second and then the third brother married her. Eventually all seven married her, and they all died without leaving any children. Finally, the woman died too. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? All seven were married to her." Jesus said to them, "People who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy to participate in that age, that is, in the age of the resurrection from the dead, won't marry, nor will they be given in marriage. They can no longer die, but they are like angels and are God's children since they share in the resurrection. Even Moses demonstrated that the dead are raised in the passage about the burning bush, when he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He isn't the God of the dead, but of the living. To him, they are all alive." You know, Stephen, like the Sadducees, many people today deny that there is a resurrection. Why does a sound eschatology, including the resurrection of the dead, matter? And how should it impact our lives?
Yeah, it's the resurrection is the most radical claim of the Christian faith. I believe it's such a hope against hope is kind of a phrase Maltman uses to talk about eschatology. It's this eschatological coming of God is such a profound hope that really it either doesn't mean anything or it means everything. And I think it's the latter. And I think having this hope, having this faith in the resurrection of the dead is so important, not only for our lives here, but really for, you know, our engagement with the world. I think Maltman's theology of hope is something I immediately come to with a lot of this, where he stresses that from the beginning, theology, eschatology isn't just a part of faith, but it really is the essence of what it is to be a Christian today, is to yearn and to hope for the coming of God in a profound way. And so, yeah, the resurrection of the dead is such a radical part of our faith, and it's sometimes difficult. And so I sympathize, I guess, with the people that struggle with the resurrection. I think it is a hope beyond hope. It's something that transcends, you know, it's not something I would think of for myself, you know, if I'm just relying back on myself, but that's the reality of what faith is. It's being pulled and compelled by something bigger than myself. And so, yeah, it very much matters for our daily lives. I think hope for the future challenges our engagement with the world today. Maltman talks about how this hope it puts us in conflict with the present, because we hope for the kingdom that's to come, the justice that will be established through the reign of God. We're put into conflict with the situations of this world that contradict that aren't kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And so that prayer that Jesus taught us to pray is so essential for this, that, you know, like thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is really the orientation for much of what we do and how we engage with the world. And so it's essential, yeah, to be able to have this hope, not only on a personal level, but on a church level, where we feel we're not going to just hide away from the world. We do believe that this world will be a part of the resurrection, and that the resurrection that comes, the new heaven, the new earth. And so I think sometimes eschatology can have a negative spin, where we're just escapists. We're just hoping that, oh, you know, everything's going to burn and we're just going to escape on the spaceship or whatever. And you know, it's very anti-human. But I think there's a way to believe in the resurrection of the dead that is very humane, and it brings us back to the hope that we have for this world and the hope that we have for the people in our lives, and pushes us out into the world and out of our safe little Christian bubbles into What does it look like to proclaim kingdom come in this situation and in these sorts of social situations, political, whatever it may be, and impacting not only our lives and how we hope, but giving us the courage to proclaim that kingdom anew and proclaim the fruit of Jesus's words. So,
yeah, hope against hope. That's well stated. You know, when we come to scripture, Stephen, it's so important that Jesus is our hermeneutical principle, the lens in which we read. But often we're reading through our fallen minds, and mm-hmm. we need to recognize that. So with that in mind, I want to ask you the next question. In this passage, it says, those who are considered worthy to participate in that age. Well, who are those people that Jesus describes in verse 35?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, like you said, any text, I think, takes a bit of critical thought to analyze. And I think it's important for something like this to step back and, you know, ask who even are the Sadducees? Who's Jesus responding to? And, you know, a good Bible student would tell you that Sadducees are the elite class within Jewish society. They were kind of the privileged landed, powerful and rich of the time. And so I think that helps contextualize this a little bit because, you know, a big motif of Luke's gospel is this critique of the powers that be, as you were, as you might say. And so I think this worthy to participate in that age, it kind of sets up this dialectic between those who have a hope in the material things of this world, that are fixated on these, as you said, kind of human mindsets, fallen mindsets, and those who are anticipating and living in the kingdom that is to come and is still present in us through the Spirit, yet we still yearn for its full consummation in the coming of Christ. And so I think the phrase, who are those who are worthy to participate or considered worthy to participate in that age, does reflect this sense of being those who anticipate in hope the resurrection, and are obviously in Christ is the key to, you know, I think understanding this. Like you said, Jesus is always going to be our hermeneutic. But I think it does set up this distinction between those who have their hope in the powers of this world, the systems of this world, the riches of this world, and those who have their hope in the kingdom that is to come. And so the worthy to participate in that age are those who that is where their hope lies. That is, they are in Christ in that sense, not just in this positional sense, not just in this sense of being united to Christ, as we believe all Christians are, but in the sense of I've actively put my hope into this coming of God, and that's my foundation. And so, setting up this distinction, like I said, of where is my faith, where is my hope? It's not in mammon, it's not in the systems of this world, but it's in the coming of God, the coming of the justice, and the coming of his reign.
Mm. Verse 38 states, God is the God of the living, and to him all are alive. What should we make of that statement?
Yeah, God is living, and, you know, God is the one in whom all things have their being. And so even those who have passed in Christ. And so, you know, Christ is the resurrection and the life. And I think that God isn't someone who I think accepts, you know, the deadness that's within us, but is always calling us to life because that's who God is. And I think that all those who are alive in Christ, I think, is the core to that the resurrection is the new creation of all things that begins in him. And so being in Christ is life, and being outside of Christ is not. And so I think that's potentially one way to understand it theologically.